There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, 1207 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile and a brand new work week to work with. And we have a lot to do on today's show. Wide ranging show will go national in the second hour. Jeff Poor will join us, although we'll go local as well. We are going to talk about that Covington Catholic story. It's just like over the weekend. When I saw that pop up on Twitter, I said, why don't we wait to get it in context? Interesting now, with it in context, that story is having a lot of people go back and edit what they had to say about those kids, same way the people that had championed the BuzzFeed bombshell story last week about President Trump are doing the same. We'll get into that coming up in next hour. But this hour, of course, talking about the loss of one of Mobile Police Department's own. And this story from yesterday, we talked about this morning, and the death of Sean Tudor, who was killed in the line of duty. And a lot more information, and we'll get to that. Also, some audio from this morning, when Mobile County District Attorney Ashley Rich called us right before they went in to ask for no bond and right after they got out of hearing that hearing, which was at Mobile Metro, by the way, because the courts were shut down today with the MLK holiday. But we'll get that audio coming up in just a second of what she had to say before and afterwards. Also, I want to add this into the mix, too. My goodness, it's just, I know that the stats show that violent crime was down, and I think it was, 2018, or was it 2017, and we're reporting, I think it was 2018, for the city of Mobile, but we have an officer killed yesterday in the line of duty. Then Mobile police now investigating a double murder they said happened yesterday at about 9 o'clock last night. Police responding to the 400 block of Claude Harris Drive, where they discovered two males suffering apparent gunshot wounds. Both victims were pronounced dead on the scene inside the residence. So we have that ongoing homicide investigation. But so we come back. I'm going to get the audio from this morning and tell you a little bit more about Officer Sean Tudor as we're learning more. But I want to read something here. I got this from the Facebook page of a buddy of mine who is in law enforcement, police officer. And he posted this up, and that's as close as I'm going to get to telling you who it is or what department. But I think this is worth reading. This is a straight lift from his Facebook page. And he posted this. He said, "I'm the police, and I'm here to arrest you. You've broken the law. I did not write the law. I may even disagree with the law, but I will enforce it. No matter how you plead, cajole, beg, or attempt to stir my sympathies, nothing you do will stop me from placing you in a steel cage with gray bars. If you run away, I will chase you. If you fight me, I will fight back. If you shoot at me, I will shoot back. By law, I'm unable to walk away. I am a consequence. I am the unpaid bill. I am fate with a badge and a gun. Behind my badge is a heart like yours. I bleed, I think, I love, and yes, I can be killed. And though I'm but one man, I have thousands of brothers and sisters who are the same as me. They will lay down their lives for me, and I for them. We stand together, a thin blue line protecting the prey from the predators, the good from the bad. We are the police." Significant. As it stood, and saying many things. I mean, if get an attitude about where law enforcement is, you know, they are the design of we the people, right? We pass laws. Legislative branch passes laws. Judicial branch makes ruling on that. But to enforce those laws that are passed by legislators, you have law enforcement, and they are doing that job. And in some cases, like yesterday, doing that job is deadly. Oh, there's so much to talk about in this going forward. I saw this note here from the family of Sean Tudor. They said, the family at this time appreciates the outpouring of thoughts, prayers, and support over the loss of our beloved Sean. At this time, the family asks for privacy as we are devastated and trying to cope. Sean loved his family and this country and knew this was a chance. He was our hero and a patriot. We are proud of him and have no other comment at this time. We ask for our continued prayers for his wife and family. So let's second that as well, and we'll get your calls on that also throughout the hour. We come back from the break. The audio from this morning, you'll hear the district attorney, Ashley Rich, talking about going into that hearing there that was held at Metro Jail, asking for no bond, and then the response after getting no bond in this case, and also the group of people that were assembled there to honor the memory of Sean Tudor, second Mobile police officer killed in line of duty in 11 months' time, 11 months to the day after the death of Officer Billa.
Is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile on this Monday. Now, it was 49. Now, it just made 50 degrees. Sunny out there, pretty, but been pretty cold so far as well. Just now at 50, heading for a high 57 or so, says staff meteorologist Dr. Bill Williams. Will get more from his forecast coming up at around 12:32. All right, audio from this morning as Mobile County District Attorney Ashley Rich called in and joined us on Mobile Mornings, talking to Dalton Kelly and me about what then was leading into the hearing there at Mobile Metro to ask for no bond in this case. And then we'll come back and get the second half when she called back in at the end of the hour. Bring on Mobile County District Attorney Ashley Rich to talk more about the story that we've talked about throughout the morning and has the city talking as well. Second time in 11 months, a Mobile police officer killed in the line of duty. Sean Tudor, the name this time. And Ashley Rich, this is too much. Two, it's just beyond heartbreaking. I see the chief yesterday and hear you. I can hear the pain in both of y'all's voices.
It's a somber morning, Sean. Very much so.
It's a situation here where you have at least the preliminary information coming in, and you can correct me where I have it wrong, but you have Officer Tudor shot yesterday at the Peach Place Inn while following up on an investigation on this suspect, Marco Perez. Is that close to correct?
That is correct.
You said this morning, 8:30, you have a bond hearing for Marco Perez?
Yes, I'm at Metro Jail now. When we have holidays, we have bond hearings at the jail, and we have an assistant district attorney present with the bond hearings at the jail. And so I am joining the assistant district attorney handling the bond hearings today, as well as Jennifer Wright with my mother team and Chief Lawrence Batiste with the Mobile Police Department. We will be here, and we will be asking for no bond against Brett.
Now,
need to hold him, Sean. He doesn't need to ever get out.
And I see the sentiment there as well from our listeners this morning. And there's some backstory here with the reason why Officer Tudor was going to that apartment. Can you give us any information on that?
We cannot. We're not releasing that at this time. As we said last night, all of the facts and circumstances surrounding this event, slowly we will be able to release those things. But you have to understand, we're not even 24 hours into this case. And so we're asking the public to be patient with us.
Absolutely. Just joining us, talking to Mobile County District Attorney Ashley Rich about the killing that left Mobile Police Department with an officer dead, once again, twice within a year's time. Maybe one is too many, but this is beyond heartbreaking. And it's a situation here where worried about just the situation that law enforcement deals with every day, you know, the pressures and maybe not feeling appreciated. And then you have stories like this. I mean, we know this could be a deadly job, but my goodness, twice in a year's time.
Sean, just two Fridays ago, we had the Mobile Police Department graduation where we had 25 new recruits who had successfully completed the recruiting process and were sworn in as officers of the Mobile Police Department. And this happens. You know, we're just asking the community to rally around all of our law enforcement officers, but especially those that even just as recently as 2 weeks ago just joined the force. You know, we have to have law enforcement. We rely on law enforcement to protect us in our community, and we want good people to be law enforcement officers. And so now more than ever, we need the community to tell our law enforcement how much they are appreciated.
That's for sure, and it touches so many people. Looking at our text line here, one of our texters says, Sean was my oldest son's squad leader in the National Guard unit that he was in, was also my oldest son's sponsor for the Mobile Police Department Academy. My son's starting the academy next week. Wow.
And you know, not only did he serve our community in the Mobile Police Department, he served our country. So it's even just double the amount of sadness that we all feel. He lived his life for service to this country and to our community.
And so many condolences coming in here on the text line. Also, a question here from Samantha said, I would like to know if the mother of the murderer of the officer will be charged as an accessory to murder, since her crimes are a big part of the reason that he was out and had the opportunity to kill Officer Tudor.
And Samantha raises a question that so many people are asking right now. And again, we are only 24 hours into this investigation. We're asking the public to be patient. If I could charge her, I will.
I don't doubt that, for sure. So 8:30 this morning, this bond hearing will be held at, because you said holiday, will be held at Metro. You and Chief Batiste and others are saying no bond in this situation.
We are asking for no bond, yes.
As this goes on, we will check back in with you, and when you can release more information, I know you will. I know it's very preliminary, and I understand that right now. You just know that the citizens here in Mobile County have lots of questions. I mean, and their hearts are broken, and they have lots of questions.
And we're going to give them the answers. We will.
There's a lot of people, and I know we can't talk about this right now, but I do need to mention it because I've got a lot of questions about the Peach Place, the location of the shooting, and if anything's going to be done about that location.
You know, it's, as more information is released, one of the things, this particular defendant wasn't living at Peach Place Apartments. He was actually living in the woods and had been homeless for a couple of days and, of course, was on the run from the police. So that's what the, you know, facts show in this case. He was visiting Peach Place, and he was hanging out with other people at Peach Place, but he wasn't actually a resident there.
And Ashley, that's new information this morning. That's why it's imperative that we get to hear directly from you and those who are involved in this situation, because it's easy to let emotions get ahead of you when we've lost yet another officer. What is your message to the community so that we ensure that we do not forget this officer and his family? He leaves behind a wife.
My message to the community is we have hundreds of law enforcement officers that get up every single day and put their lives on the line. So important that as a community we rally around them and support them, not only in these times but on an average day, and tell them how much we respect them and we care about them. That's the message that we all have to take. We've got to teach our younger generation how much and how important law enforcement is and how much we need to respect them in the job that they're doing.
Why does this impact you so greatly?
As the district attorney, I hope that I could be the district attorney without having any officer involved deaths. And as the district attorney, this is my third. So it's hard. It's the hardest part of the job.
It's heavy on the hearts of yourself and so many of our residents. And once again, 8:30 this morning, the bond hearing, and we will check it back in for more information as it becomes available. Thank you for your time. Thanks for being on with us.
Okay, thank you, Sean.
All right, District Attorney Ashley Rich joining us on this somber day. And a lot of questions coming in from the text line.
All right, so that was the first time District Attorney Ashley Rich spoke to us this morning during Mobile Mornings in the 8 o'clock hour. And that was before going in to attempt to get no bond in this case for the suspect. And they were successful. And then she was back on the phone with us before the end of the hour. And this is how it went. District Attorney Ashley Rich on the phone with us right now. Thanks for coming back. What's going on?
We just completed the bond hearing at Metro Jail. Judge Basenberg did hold him with no bond.
No bond. All right. Very, very good. And people were asking questions here. I guess that then he just goes right back into Metro, right? There's no no walk or anything because he's where he's going.
Right. He is at Metro Jail and will remain at Metro Jail. Additionally, the feds have filed additional felony gun charges against him as well. So not only does he have a state no bond, he has a hold out of federal court, so he's not going anywhere.
How does this work then? When will be the next time? Do you have any idea when the next time he goes to court will be?
Every criminal defendant has an arraignment where the defendant pleads guilty or not guilty, and of course they all plead not guilty. That will be next Tuesday at 8:30 in circuit court. The judge has not been announced yet. There's a rotation that happens with our circuit court judges, and as to which judge is up next, I don't know. I've been in contact with our presiding judge, Judge Lockett, and he will find who is next in that rotation and assign this case to the judge that's next for hearing a capital murder case, and that will be assigned sometime this week, and then Perez will go before that judge on Tuesday of next week at 9:30.
Well, thank you for the update.
I'm
sorry, 8:30. But once again, just repeating for people, no bond, not getting out.
I will tell you, you know, Sean, I told you this morning that Officer Perez was a member of the Army National Guard, in addition to police officers being here today at the bond hearing outside of the hearing room. Several members of his National Guard unit were there.
Oh, wow.
In full uniform.
Oh, wow.
So many. They wanted to be there to support their fellow member of their unit. He was a member of Charlie Company, 173rd Infantry, and he was a machine gunner with the Army National Guard.
Wow. Wow, and I'm just looking through what we're seeing today just at the radio station. Officer Tudor touched a lot of lives. A lot of our listeners have connections with him as well, and it is it's a somber day for sure. I guess the good news is the suspect, no bond, and will be there at Metro. District Attorney Ashley Rich, thank you for your time. Thanks for being on, and thanks for what you're doing.
It's my job. Thank you so much.
All right, we're coming right back. Okay, so there's the second part of it, and obviously you can hear the pain in District Attorney Ashley Rich's voice saying the folks assembled there today to honor Sean Tudor. You know, a little more about this suspect, too. I mean, we've talked about it a good bit this morning, but I'll say this. I've got the video from a piece on WKRG.com. Jessica Tolody posted this morning, and I've got the video stopped. You know, hit the pause button on a still here. And on this still, I see at least in this frame, five different mugshots for Marco Perez. Now, I understand I still am one of those people that say innocent until proven guilty, although it looks like, I mean, even the father has commented on, you know, Marco Perez Sr., I think, has commented. There was NBC 15 story about that, about his son doing this. But I will say this. There's the story we talk about all the time. Now, these situations don't always lead to somebody who's killing a police officer. But this is a 19-year-old, 19, and I'm looking just in one still, and with the number of charges I see on the rap sheet here, there are probably more mugshots than this, but I'm looking at five, y'all. Five. For a 19 or five times you get photographed mugshot. It's just,
it's what do you expect to have, you know, happen when folks keep getting out and getting out and getting out? And it doesn't mean that somebody who is a minor needs to go to prison for the rest of their lives, but something has got to be done so these folks don't go right back out. I mean, look at the situation. I mean, it was wanted before on federal gun charges. You heard District Attorney Ashley Rich say that's again now with the feds on top of the on charges of murder here, and so many others been charged with break-ins and robberies and all that in the past. But yeah, five different mugshots of a then 19-year-old. Oh, wow. We'll get your reactions to that when we get back at 343-0106. Also, see Lita Gore's story here? Interesting on this MLK Day. Of course, in the state of Alabama, it's not only Martin Luther King Day, it's also Robert E. Lee's birthday combined. And there's a petition here in the state to end the combination of Martin Luther King Jr. and the Robert E. Lee holiday. Right now, I think it was up to 14,000, something like that, signatures online. What do you think? I mean, the combination of the two has always struck me as quite odd. And I know that today would be the official birthday for Robert E. Lee, but could you separate these? Would you sign a petition to separate those two and not have them run concurrently? We'll hear from you when we get back at 343-0106, 343-0106. Also coming up next hour, Jeff Poore joins us. We will talk about a couple of stories, I mean, the BuzzFeed bombshell, but also this one that really got my attention. And you see, I linked up a story from Reason.com, which is a headline here. The media wildly mischaracterized the video of the Covington Catholic students confronting a Native American veteran. Yeah, you need to, like anything, put things in context. Wait till you hear more on this. Jeff and I will talk about that. Maybe we'll get some of this audio from it. It's like an hour's worth of video you got to watch, but I'll try to condense it down. We'll talk about that in hour number two of the show. But when we come back, we'll talk to you about the latest here on MLK and Robert E. Lee.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
At 12:35, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile, Monday style. Glad you're here. Phone number 343-0106, 343-0106. If we get a chance, hopefully maybe I can get this in before Jeff joins us next hour. Because, Dalton, all the talk we did during the Consumer Electronics Show, different devices that were out that they had rolled out, we missed, like, you know how sometimes I'll say, well, now finally the researchers are doing something worth doing. You know, the lab coat people. In this case, finally tech is doing something worth doing. There's all the, you know, automatic everything out there. And a lot of wearables we talk about, you know, like Fitbits and Apple Watch and all that. And then I saw this. I said, this is finally, and we'll get the details. But how about a mattress and or pillow that shakes the person snoring so they'll be quiet? I'm not going to confirm nor deny that I may or may not have, put the, and I'm sure it's been done to me, the reach over and kind of like just push or bounce the bed a little bit to get the snoring person to stop long enough that maybe you have a chance of getting to sleep. But of course, then you lay there and you worry about it. You go, oh, they're going to start at any point. They're going to start. So, but there's now, at least this is coming, how we didn't see this earlier, but Consumer Electronics Show, they said there's a mattress and frame that will shake the snoring person. I mean, we just missed that one, man.
I don't think I'm going to be sharing that with the wife because she would for sure buy that. I know I'm one of the loudest snorers probably in all of Mobile and Baldwin counties combined.
I got some buddies that have run me out of a camp house, a hunting camp, before maybe go sleep in the trunk. We'll get to the full day, but it's a mattress that shakes you? Because a shaking usually gets the snoring person to stop snoring.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really? Without waking them up, or they wake up and then that's how they stop snoring?
Well, they kind of halfway wake up. Here's the key to it is, well, you don't know because you're the, you know, and you can always say, I've never heard myself snore.
Right.
Right. But the little bit of shake that gets a person out of the deep sleep, but they don't truly wake up because you can hide back like you're just sleeping. That's what gets them to quit snoring. And sometimes they'll move or turn where they stop snoring long enough that you can get to sleep.
Mm.
This is a finally technology is doing something worth doing here. They've got a mattress that shakes the snoring person.
That's amazing. You know, my wife and I just had this conversation last week. We were with some other people and we had the snoring conversation. That always comes up with friends somehow. And but I feel selfish because I truly have no idea if my wife snores because if she's asleep, I've probably already been asleep.
Right.
And I wake up way before her, but I'm usually out the door pretty quickly.
Right.
So I don't know if she snores. I don't think that she does, but she has to live through my snoring each and every night.
So, I mean, she may end up getting a bed that's like one of those old, you put the coins in it and
How do you know I don't already have one of those?
That's true. So, yeah, well, okay, we'll get a chance. We'll talk about this at the beginning of next hour. Another thing I want to talk about here, and we'll grab your calls and text on this at 343-0106. Lita Gore had a story over at AL.com about it. Slate, they were talking about it over at Slate.com as well. Lita's story said a petition calling on Alabama to end its combined Martin Luther King Jr. and Robert E. Lee holiday has garnered more than 13,600 signatures. Now, this was last week. It's higher than that now. The petition on CARE 2 urges Alabama and Mississippi, the last two states with a joint holiday for the slain civil rights leader and the Confederate general, to stop what they call the horrific practice of the merged day. Okay, quote here, it says, in Alabama and Mississippi, the third Monday is not only MLK Jr. Day, it's also Robert E. Lee Day, a state holiday celebrating Confederate General Robert E. Lee, who they said ruthlessly fought for the right to keep black people enslaved, according to petition organizers. Quote, while it is horrific for these states to celebrate these two men on the same day, the real horror is they even celebrate Lee at all. You know, I would say this, that, and that's from the petition site. I wonder if they would do something better here. And because I got to tell you, I've wondered this as well. I don't like this. I think they should be celebrated separately.
Mm-hmm.
I get the wink and a nudge of having them on the same day, and it has bothered me since I was a kid. It really has. I mean, I remember when we were kids, it's bothered me. Since I was like, even in talking to my friends, we talk about honoring the birthday of Robert E. Lee. Fine. Robert E. Lee's birthday is the 21st. Martin Luther King Jr.'s the 15th. Okay, and I know how it's, I think it's set for the 16th, but on the federal calendar, because it's going to be the first Monday after, some kind of adjustment has got to be made, as many things as we can do, to not celebrate these things concurrently. And I think I was reading in the Slate story, and maybe somebody can correct me if I'm wrong, that actually even the way it's written in Alabama state code is today is the it's Robert E. Lee's birthday and MLK Jr. Day. In other words, and somebody was saying, well, you know, you even have Robert E. Lee coming beforehand. I don't know. I think you can be somebody who is who's open to keeping a discussion of history open and all those things and say, you know, having them concurrent is, I just don't like it.
Yeah, it's kind of in line with the removal of the statues discussion, because if you completely forget about American history,
right?
Well, we know what happens when you forget about history, that history repeats itself. And Robert E. Lee, he's a huge part of American history.
People argue, though, you don't have to have a holiday for his birthday to remember him, but even if you are somebody who believes you should, it's bothersome that as far as we've come, and I'm one of these people that thinks we've come a long way. I'll get in discussions with a lot of people that disagree and a lot of people that agree. I think we've come a long way in this country. I see great things going forward with younger generations as well. It makes me happy. But this is something that the concurrent celebration, just how this has stood up over time. Not that I think that it needs to be done by some kind of, you know, judge outside the state. No, some federal. It needs to be done inside the state. And I would say the legislature and others ought to think about this and you separate these two.
Yeah, I've always felt the same way, that you can keep Robert E. Lee Day around, but not on the same day as Martin Luther King Day. And weren't there more states? The number of states that have had Robert E. Lee Day, that's kind of been dwindling over the years. I think it went
Alabama
from,
and Mississippi are the only two to do the concurrent thing. Here, according to the story, it says there's some reason to hope that the few remaining states will eventually abandon their celebration. This editorial from Slate. It's not news. This editorial. Celebration Lee, Birmingham, large city in Alabama. And a majority black one managed to overturn state law protecting Confederate monuments. Okay, that's... I think it says here it's Alabama and Mississippi. Okay. There we go. It is... In total states, it says Alabama, Mississippi, I think Arkansas... I thought there was at least one other, but Alabama and Mississippi are the states that run them concurrently. There it is, Florida and Arkansas. So Alabama, Mississippi, Florida, and Arkansas have Robert E. Lee Day on their list of official state holidays. Only Alabama and Mississippi have been, running them concurrently. It says the Lee King holiday is one of three Confederate-related holidays on Alabama's official calendar, which also includes Confederate Memorial Day on the fourth Monday in April, and is the birthday of former Confederate President Jefferson Davis. That's on the first Monday in June.
Well, until I got into radio, I didn't even realize there was a Robert E. Lee Day until I started getting on the air more and finding out that it was on the same day. But I'm always amazed. We always get at least one or two texts on Martin Luther King Day of people angry that we're talking about Martin Luther King Day and not bringing up Robert E. Lee Day, which, if they listen long enough, we eventually bring it up, and it usually ends up getting into this discussion.
Right, and we'll take your calls at 343-0106. I mean, I was seeing some text on this. Listen, you don't have to agree with me, but I try to be a fair arbiter of these things, and to just sign on and say everything's okay and hunky-dory with that. You can be somebody who wants to continue to have some state recognition of Robert E. Lee's birthday, and I think you could come over and agree with me that these two concurrently seems the oddest of oddities.
It really does.
I would point out that, I mean, first of all, neither of them are Alabamians.
Mm-hmm.
But first of all, so I can ask that question, why are we celebrating, you know?
Yep.
Neither of them are Alabamians, right? This is not like Helen Keller Day.
No.
So if we are going to then celebrate these, and obviously you have a federal holiday in the mix here with MLK Day, Martin Luther King Jr.'s birthday is 15th. Robert E. Lee's birthday was 21st.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, give them other days. Separate them. How does this seem so extreme of an idea that we haven't done this yet?
Another interesting thing to look at on Martin Luther King Day, and we see the same thing on Memorial Day and on Veterans Day and other national holidays that are supposed to mean something to you.
Mm-hmm.
Like today, a lot of people are going out and doing service.
Yes.
Or they're going out and participating in social events around their city. But a lot of companies try to use marketing on those days. And I know Florida State, this is something that's going around online a lot today. They took a photo of Martin Luther King today. Florida State's recruiting Twitter page. So they keep you on news of recruits that are coming into Florida State. They took a photo of Martin Luther King and photoshopped Nike football gloves onto him
in order
to market Florida State. Yeah, they're being called out for the tackiness.
I'll go ahead and today. Even without saying that's tacky. So can I... And it's interesting. I'm just looking at the comments here, and I'd love to hear from you on the phone. I know it's not normal for talk radio. Usually, you'd have to have somebody all in one camp or the other, blasting any kind of discussion of Robert E. Lee's birthday, or blasting all discussion of why it's not okay to have it on the same day as Martin Luther King Day. I'm the difference. I'm the odd one. And it is. It is something that the state needs to correct. It's something that I can't deal with Mississippi. I don't live there. I live in Alabama. And why these two are concurrent. Yeah. Lord knows, don't tell me government can't make room for another holiday. They're real good at that.
Yeah.
But yeah, one and the same. And it's 2019.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Maybe we should have done our show today from Bucky's. It's opening day today, you know. I mean, you didn't hear my buddy Devin. She told you all the details. I remember talking about this with John Sharp from AL.com about the size of the store. Now, some of y'all have texted in. You've already been in there. And but he gave me the stat. What was it? Was it 53,000? Does that sound? It sounds way too big. But for some reason, in my head, it was 53,000 square feet or something like that. Crazy, crazy deal. Interesting too that Bucky's. I think this is worth discussing. Okay, so Bucky's comes here first. If y'all are new to this, just Google it. It's got a gigantic beaver as a logo, as a mascot. All these gas pumps, all this jerky out there, gigantic gas stations. All right, it's like the amusement park, the penultimate of gas stations here. So Bucky's comes the first place outside of Texas is right here in Alabama, Baldwin County. And also, I remember now the story here, and let me look this up. Okay, remember we had the discussion. I guess it was last week with John Sharp, oddly enough, about incentives and what's being done. Like, for example, and obviously this is comparing gigantic pumpkins at a fair along with cherry tomatoes. I understand they're different sizes, but we talked about the incentives for the Airbus build out for the A220 facility and other incentive programs that have been done for bunch of different things here in Mobile County, Baldwin County, also a lot of places elsewhere in the state, how the state incentivizes these businesses to come in. Bucky's didn't get anything. Didn't get any property tax break, any sales tax break. They came in without any incentives. So it can be done. Now, I understand. Believe me, I'm not ignorant. But, I mean, I know that there are different sizes here, but pretty interesting that Bucky's would want to come in here. At the first place, I think it's great. I mean, I agree with these, but the first place they locate out of state is right here in our neck of the woods without any incentive programming. It can be done. It can be done. So just compare and contrast. I think this is the story. Yeah, okay, I'll put this up on Twitter. It's an old story from, I say old, it was from August, why Bucky's chose Alabama for its first non-Texas supersized travel center. Prop this up on the Twitter feed, which is at FM Talk 106.5. All right, that and a couple, you know, another question I was asking here that maybe this is one we can take up with members of state legislature, if I can get in touch with them, is this concurrent celebration in our state. Is there not? I mean, and I'm an open-minded guy. If you could tell me why it's not possible to do, then go ahead and let me know. But why we concurrently in Alabama, Mississippi, concurrently, and I can't worry about Mississippi, I'm an Alabama guy, why we have to concurrently celebrate Martin Luther King Jr. Day and Robert E. Lee's birthday. MLK, born on the 15th, General Lee, born on the 21st. I mean, don't tell me government can't make an extra holiday, because I've seen it before. Look at this. All right, oh, we get a live report. It's my buddy. He's on line one. Tucker Dorsey checking in. Hey, Tucker.
Sean, how you been, man?
Doing good. Wait a second. It says here, Tucker Dorsey and Bucky's is packed.
Yeah, so today's the grand opening day for Bucky's, and Chris Elliott and I decided to go up there and get a sandwich for lunch and not really knowing what to expect up there. The place is slammed.
And I saw a note here you just dropped to me. So it's 50. I was right. It's 53,000 square feet. It seemed like when I said it, I wanted to check myself because it seemed like I was going to be wrong on that, but that's big.
Yeah, it's an acre and a quarter of shopping convenience store.
Okay, did you? What about the little angle I just went on there? And you know, I'm guilty of this. You've known me a long time that I'm always questioning incentive programs. Not negative on everyone, but I'm questioning.
I know we've had discussions offline for hours on it.
Right, and so but in this case, here's obviously this is not at Airbus level. I get this, but Bucky's comes in here, decides to come in here without any incentives.
Yeah, I mean, they certainly asked for them, and I guess what we did at the commission level, we helped facilitate the traffic light that is there at the Beach Express and 68, and helped ALDOT, you know, understand the traffic that was going to be there as a result, and so they helped do the traffic light at the interstate there. But Bucky's paid for those, and they wanted to be in that location where the right distance from their Baytown store in Houston. It worked out really well for us. The traffic profiles were good for us, and it was a great location for them. We certainly wanted to make it easy for them to be here, but we didn't have to give away the store to do it. And today's a great example. I mean, you'll see on the news tonight when they Debbie Williams is out there, James Gordon's out there filming all the people out there. And good gosh, it was unbelievably packed today.
Well, then I'll go once things settle down. I'll go once I can get in, because everybody tells me I have to go check out the jerky selection. So.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. It's really good. So, I mean, they're firing on all cylinders today. The food was fantastic. It was hot. It was quick. And I'm talking about there are hundreds and hundreds of people there. The parking lot's slam full. So let me give you some of the calculus on what we were figuring when they decide to come. That store alone will likely generate for Baldwin County $70,000 a month in gasoline tax alone.
Wow. Wow, don't you know Montgomery's eyeing that?
Yeah, so theirs is going to be one and a half times that. So $100,000 a month probably for the state from gasoline tax there. Their stores average around 1.8 million gallons per month. They might have sold that today with as crowded as it was. And the store itself is going to be such a sales tax generator for the county and Locksley. It's unbelievable. I mean, it is a fabulous store, and it's perfectly well managed and merchandised. The people are really friendly. It's a great spot, and they're paying great wages up there. I forget, I think there are 150-ish employees they've got hired there to run that store, and we're really glad they're there, and I hope they've had a great opening day.
Well, good deal. Check it in, and we'll have to talk again soon, but Tucker Dorsey, thanks for the update, and live from Bucky's.
Yeah, I was just driving out of there from lunch and heard you talking about it. Figured I'd call you up and talk to you a while. I hope all is well.
All is well. Hopefully with y'all as well. We'll talk soon. Give me a call. Coming right back, hour number two of Midday Mobile.